Hello, and welcome to the Reader's Quadrant, an Empyrean podcast. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Samantha. We are doing a chapter-by-chapter reread and analysis of the Empyrean book series written by Rebecca Yarros. Today we will be discussing chapter 22 of Fourth Wing. We do swear and we are not spoiler-free.
So hopefully by now everyone has seen our super awesome giveaway on our Instagram. And our Instagram handle's at Reader's Quadrant Podcast. I don't know why I just pause. I'll start that again. Our Instagram handle is at Reader's Quadrant Podcast. And if you haven't been there yet, please go check it out. You have about 24 more hours from the time this episode is posted. The giveaway closes at 11:59 Central Standard Time on May 7th. So go get your entries in. Our prize is super, super awesome. And yes, Once that closes, we will be doing a draw. I'm basically putting all these names into a randomizer on the internet and then drawing from that. And then we'll be contacting the winner either via Instagram or Discord, just depending on where we can get a hold of them. So if you haven't yet and you're listening to this on May 7th, go and enter.
Yep, before it's too late.
And that's pretty much all we have for the battle brief.
Yep, pretty quiet otherwise. So, moving on. Last time on Fourth Wing, Violet gets a rough history lesson on what happened to the kids of the rebellion after their parents died. Sad face. And learns about an attack on Summerton. Dick jokes abound in class, but Summerton is mysteriously left out of battle brief. What does this mean? Stay tuned! We won't find out today!
It's true. That, you know what? That was a good recap. I liked that.
Thanks.
Okay, so chapter 22. As usual, Sam gets the fun part. And I get Dane once again.
You always feel like you always get Dane.
He's not too bad this time because it's mostly just Zayden being like, shut the fuck up. But still, my point remains that I always get the Dane section. What is that about? I can't even blame you because I made the chapter splits.
It's true, she did.
Okay.
We mainly went on the first and last chapters of the book and then just didn't think about the middle at all.
So the opening blurb for chapter 22. The first rush of power is unmistakable. The first time it forms to you, surrounds you with a seemingly endless supply of energy, you'll be addicted to the high, to the possibilities of all you can do with it, to the control you hold in the palm of your hand. But here's the thing, that power can quickly turn and control you. And that's from page 64, the Book of Brennan. And I'm just noticing a typo in this blurb.
Which
there's
part?
No space after the period, hand, but. Not but, like, not oh. But, like, B-U-T-T, hand, but.
No. Yeah, you're right. Good catch. It just shows how crappy her editors were for this one.
This is true. So I find this section interesting because I feel like this is going kind of into Venin territory. You'll be addicted to the high, but you'll be addicted to the high. And he's talking about how the power can control you. So that's just foreshadowing, I think.
Yeah, especially with the addiction part, because that seems to be key, especially kind of what we hear from Jack, I think, at the end of Iron Flame. He talks about the addiction of it, if I remember correctly.
So getting started in the chapter, we are into December. Yay, Christmas. Except I don't think Christmas exists.
Yay.
I don't think Christmas exists here, but I think they have a different celebration.
I mean, I feel like every religion has some sort of Christmas-like, like, winter gift-giving holiday.
Yeah, like a solstice type thing or something like that.
Yeah.
So Violet,
yeah, ACOTAR.
Violet is still hung up on the, like, classified document that her and Liam found in the last chapter. None of the professors have mentioned it, and it's not like she can bring it up or Liam can bring it up without letting everyone know that they were, like, snooping around classified information. And she still hasn't started channeling. And she says that 3/4 of her year have started, and she is not one of them. So she's been keeping to herself. And Tarn says, not entirely. So, what do you think that means, not entirely? She's been not entirely keeping to herself.
I think just because Tarn's always in her head, so anything she keeps herself also goes to him.
And then we learn that Tarn almost let Violet die earlier in flying practice because he almost let her hit the side of a mountain. And
he does that.
And Tarn's like, then stay on next time. While all of this is happening and she's having all these thoughts in her head, she's actually sparring with Rhiannon on the mat. I decided to try this new thing where I annotated my book. Like, I put little stickies on it for my notes. Okay. So hopefully I'll, like, be able to remember when I say read, I'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So Rhiannon says to Violet that Violet seems distracted, and her gaze flicks to Liam sitting on the bench, and he's carving another dragon. I freaking love this guy. But we learn that Violet is faster than she used to be. Rhiannon says, whatever Imogen has you doing is working. And then Imogen's like, as if there was ever any doubt. I love this newfound dynamic that this group has.
And I like how Imogen just casually has Riddick in a headlock.
That's so fucking funny. She's just waiting for him to tap out. I just think that's so funny. So the whole group, the whole wing, I think it seems like, is in, or the whole squad, sorry, is in the, are on the mats because Dane has ordered them to practice there every Tuesday night for hand-to-hand combat practice, because basically they have like no time to be on the mat anymore with all their classes and the training and all of that shit.
Mm-hmm. And as we learn, challenges are starting soon.
Yep. So there's a few other riders in there tonight too, and one of those riders is Jack Barlow. And apparently Riddick had asked Liam to spar with him, but Liam said no, because I'm assuming that it's because, just because he wants to be fully alert, because Jack is also in the same room.
Yep.
But I like that of the two, like, he's still, like, Liam was his first choice. He'd very clearly get his ass kicked by Liam, because we've been told so many times that Liam is the best in his year at pretty much everything. But Riddick is still getting his ass handed to him by Imogen as well.
I feel like with that conversation, I bet Riddick was like, hey, Liam, you wanna go spar with Jack over there? Just like in his, like, you know, silly way. Liam's like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, Riddick asked Liam to spar with him.
Oh, I thought he asked him to spar with Jack.
No.
Misread that. Anywho, continue on.
So Violet tells Rhiannon that to stop taking it easy on her. And she notes that her dragon scale vest is drying on the bench next to Liam. So she's taken it off. So she feels completely safe in this situation, even though Jack's there. She feels 100% safe. That's how I read this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she really has no reason not to feel safe.
Yeah.
Because she didn't know Jack was going to be there when she washed it.
No, this is true. So Rhiannon's saying, yeah, well, we've been at this for an hour. You're tired, and I really don't want to hurt you. Oh, hey, look at this. Challenges resume after solstice. There we go.
My bad.
So Violet says, challenges resume after solstice. You're not doing me any favors by holding back. Except this time, challengers get to pick your opponent. As opposed to the professors picking your opponent.
Yeah. She says after solstice. Do you think, kind of like how we talked about before, do they actually have like some sort of celebration for solstice? Or is it just like another time marker?
I don't know. I can't remember. Is that what the... No, the ball is because the king comes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. What is the beginning?
I just didn't know if you thought, like, I don't know if they actually say if they do anything, like, so I was just curious if you thought maybe they did.
Probably. Like, they have a big focus on their gods, and they have so many gods. I'm sure they do. Okay, so it's at this point that Zayden, wait, okay, it's Zayden. Yeah, it's Zayden talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zayden says she's not wrong from behind Violet. And so in her peripherals, Violet can see Liam stand. And I think this is so cute. Like, he sees Zayden. He's like, oh, just pops up.
Well, I mean, Zayden is royalty, yeah. Right? He's going to stand for
him. You know
what
it reminds me of? In Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, when all the Beauxbatons students stand up when Madame Maxime enters the room. As a sign of respect.
Oh, they do?
Yep.
I don't remember that.
And then Violet uses her and Zayden's favorite line here. Well aware. Except without our favorite middle word in there.
Well the fuck aware.
Violet,
it's just fun, I'm sorry.
So Violet thinks, it's impossible to rip my eyes away until he passes, though. Gods, I have it bad. And now, this is where you play Down Bad by Taylor Swift. And she says to Zayden, go away unless you have something useful to say. And he says, move faster, you'll be less likely to die.
How's that for useful?
And Rhiannon just, like, can't believe the way that Violet talks to Zayden. I think this is so funny. It's just banter. Like, it's, they're winding each other up, and I find it hilarious. Violet and Zayden, I mean.
Yeah, it's honestly, I'm surprised the rest aren't like, just get a room already.
Yeah, just fuck. Just get it
this
over
kind
with.
Of how it is. Just do it.
So Liam chimes in and he says, you're likely to kill each other. Can't wait to see how you two function after graduation. And Violet's like, wow, I haven't even been allowing myself to think like a week in the future, let alone graduation. And we do get a glimpse of what that life would have looked like in Iron Flame.
Mm-hmm.
When they're separated for periods of time. And then reunited and then separated and then reunited. But that was very short-lived.
Violet thinks something kind of I didn't really catch before. She says, not when there are some very difficult questions I'm not ready to ask. What is she referring to?
I think it's why they're not teaching them everything that they know about in Battle Brief. I think she's still dwelling on that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I thought maybe it was going to be something Zayden related.
No, not when, because she was at the very beginning of the chapter. Makes me wonder what else doesn't make it to Battle Brief, but I keep that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure that's just still what she's talking about. So Rhiannon knows that Violet hasn't been able to channel yet, and she knows that Violet's getting increasingly frustrated by this. And I just want to say once again how much I love their friendship. Like, at this point in time, they share everything with each other. That's why I get so frustrated by it at the beginning.
Surprised they haven't shared a bed yet. Wink, wink.
And so Rhiannon is basically telling Violet to take the anger out on her. So Violet's like, I don't want to take my anger out on you. You're my friend. And then she's like, I actually want to take it out on Zayden because he's given me a 24-hour-a-day bodyguard and people can't come in my room.
Well, there is one way that they can take their anger out on each other.
So Rhiannon's like, oh, so there's definitely some anger there. And Violet's like, you would be furious if someone took your freedom away. If you had Liam at your door every morning until night, even as seemingly great as he is. And I agree with her on this. This would annoy the shit out of me. But then, guys, things get interesting. Violet glances over her shoulder and she thinks, holy fucking hot. Because Zayden and Garrick are stripped down and they're not wearing any shirts. It's skins versus skins.
Yep. I can't blame Violet because that does sound hot
as
hell.
I also can't blame Rhiannon because she is also like, oh. Oh my.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. She's like, pay attention. I could have. Oh.
Yeah, I just. Violet's thinking she's seen a bunch of riders shirtless, so she should be immune to the male form, but I've never seen him in italics shirtless. And then I just want to read this. Every edge of Zayden's body is honed like a weapon, all sharp lines and barely leashed power. His rebellion relic twists around his upper body and stands out against the deep bronze of his skin, accentuating every punch he throws, and his stomach. I mean, how many muscles are there in the abdominals? And he also has the largest dragon relic that she's ever seen. It takes up his entire back. And I'd have to imagine he has a pretty large back, like a broad back. And she thinks, and I know exactly how that body feels on top of mine, just how much power. And then her hip stings because Rhiannon has hit her. And Tarn's like, serves you right. Like, basically lusting over the wing leader.
Shall he get him?
So Rhiannon's like, pay attention, I could have dot dot dot. Oh. So, go ahead.
I was saying that every other woman and several of the men are happily watching.
Rhiannon's like, that is...
She's like, it sure is.
And then Liam says, stop objectifying our wing leader.
I just love their back and forth. Is that what we're doing? Yeah, I think that's what we're doing.
We could just be watching for technique. Yeah, we absolutely could be. And Violet's like, but I'm not. I'm shamelessly wondering how his skin would feel under my fingertips. How my body would react to having every ounce of that intense focus on me. And this is so funny to me because... we're going to see it in just a little bit once we get to Sam's section, but Violet uses the excuse of Tarn's lust, basically, for her being so attracted to Zayden, like, later on. But, like, no, honey, this is all you.
I think Tarn's lust, like, emphasized it. Not emphasize. What's the word I'm looking for? Where, like, you know, it makes it more.
Amplifies?
I'm having a brain amplifies? Fart. Yeah, no, I don't know. It magnifies it, basically. Okay. Like, Tarn's lust magnifies her lust for Zayden.
But you know what's so funny to me about this, Sam? After, like, all of this discussion about shamelessly wondering how his skin would feel under my fingertips, how my body would react to having every ounce of that intense focus on me, heat races through my veins and stings my cheeks, and then the first sentence of that next paragraph, a repetitive smacking sound draws my attention to the right. It's just like... sexual imagery.
Oh. Yep.
But it's actually just Riddick tapping out because he's being choked.
Yeah. And then Imogen staring at them.
Yes. Staring with pure yearning. As she watches Zayden and Garrett. Yes. We know. Yeah. It's not for Zayden, though. Dane gets all mad. You guys are just easily distracted. We're fucked for squad battle. Like, okay. Meh. Let's just, can't you not also just take a moment to appreciate the human form, Dane?
He's just jealous because Violet's looking.
Yeah, but he's been pissed at her anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's still... He is, like, very much the possessive type, though.
Yeah. So Violet's trying to get, like, Zayden out of her head because she thinks he only tolerates my existence because our dragons are mated, and here I am salivating over his half-naked body. And it's like, oh, Violet, you could not be more wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it makes their conversation in my half a little bit more sad.
So Dane orders everyone to get back to work, and Violet notes that this is the first thing he said since her memory got Amber killed. But I like how it's sad to me that she phrases it as her memory got Amber killed. Amber got herself killed. Let's be so fucking for real with that.
Yeah, 100%.
Which is what Tarn says. But, like, and it's sad to me that Violet thinks, like, that.
Yep. Yep. And that's why he growls at her. She got herself killed by breaking the codex. Yeah. And he's not wrong. She's, like, such a codex-loving person, yet she breaks, like, one of the highest rules of the codex.
So, Dane's eyes are narrowed at Violet. She thinks, I must be reading his face wrong. Surely that's not betrayal pursing his lips. Like, he's so pissed at her. So, Rhiannon gets ready to fight Violet again, lifts her staff. And Tarn's like, stop defending! Go on offense! He sounds like such a bro here. But Rhiannon, like,
that's because he's such, no, go ahead, he's, you know, he's so big, he's so used to being like the aggressor and in charge.
He cannot imagine the attacker. Yeah, he cannot imagine needing to be on defense. But Rhiannon sweeps Violet's feet out from under her and flips her onto her back and knocks the wind completely out of her. And I hate this feeling. So Jack's mocking Violet, yeah, because she's on the mat, and he's like, and yet that is the rider that Tarn chose. Starting to think he chose wrong, but considering I haven't seen you wield any powers, I bet you're thinking the same thing too, aren't you, Soarin'gale? Shouldn't you have twice the ability to channel with two dragons? And I hate this for Violet because this is playing into her insecurities. Like, she's already thinking this about herself. Obviously not the two dragon thing, but she's already thinking, like, I should be channeling. So it must suck to have other people voice that, like, voice your insecurities.
Well, yeah, and that's his point. You know, he's playing mind games.
Yeah. But I like this, though, because Liam stands up and puts himself in between Jack and Violet.
It's his job.
Yes. And so Jack's like, simmer down, Mary. I'm not going to attack your little charge. Not when I can challenge her in a couple weeks. Jack is not stupid enough to fight Liam. He knows he'd lose.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that sentence sounding so weird to me? But we do get the tidbit of information that's important here. His friend from First Wing offers him something. A slice of orange he's eating. And Jack shoves his hand away at the wrist. Get that noxious shit away from me. Do you want me to end up in the infirmary? Bum, bum, bum.
It's funny that he does it, like, at his wrist. Like, he doesn't even want to touch any part of anything that's touched the orange. No, he must be orange.
Super fucking allergic.
Some people are. Like, in real-time life.
So, then, Zayden evidently comes up and stands behind Violet. Because Jack says, she's only alive because of you. And the blood is just draining from his face. Like, he's scared shitless of Zayden. And Zayden's like, right, because I'm the one who buried a dagger in your shoulder at threshing. My glasses are falling off my head. So Jack's like, oh, we could just settle this now if you're done hiding behind big strong men. And I love Violet here, because she's like, yeah, you ran, it was 3-on-1, like 3 men on 1 woman, and you ran because you're a fucking coward and you'll always be a coward.
Boom.
And this next line here, dichotomy between Dane and Zayden. Dane's like, for fuck's sake, Violet. And Zayden's like, well, she's not wrong. Like, one's supportive, one's unsupportive. Like,
yep. And Garrick laughs. And they leave poor Liam to, like, deal with it.
Yeah, because it says, Liam muscles Jack off the mat where he leaps at me. Because he can't hold his ground against Liam, as Liam forces him into the gym, or forces him from the gym.
I like how it says his boots squeak. I just imagine, like, a basketball exactly game.
And then I like this for Violet, too, because Dane tries to talk to her, and Violet's like, oh, now you're talking to me? You go, Violet.
Mm-hmm.
You give it right back.
Fuck, but, yeah.
I mean, Dane doesn't have a long talk to her because Zayden pulls her aside. And he's super pissed at her because she's not wearing her dragon scale armor. Violet's like, well, I have to wash it at some point. And Zayden's like, well, you thought that would be a good idea during sparring? And she's like, I washed it before sparring. Knowing it could dry while your guard dog Liam keeps watch of her. So it's like, she trusts Liam. She loves Liam. At this point, I think she already loves Liam.
Sorry, I thought I heard Kieran.
Oh, okay.
She loves Liam. Yes. I do like, though, I think, as far as I know, he's still shirtless, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because she says, I'm trying not to notice his chest or the heat he's throwing off like a damned furnace.
Yeah, because she talks about how his, his chest is, like, heaving.
Yeah, like a furnace.
No, before. For that,
oh, I thought you said heaving.
His chest heaves, like he's battling to keep control of himself.
I heard heaving. Okay, yes.
No, heaving with a V, as in Victor. Or Venom.
True. And so they're talking about how Zayden, like, warded her room. And Violet's like, oh, because I'm supposed to trust you. He said, yes. And he's like, you know I can't kill you. The entire quadrant knows I can't kill you. Like, when are you going to trust me? And then he's like, okay, stop training with the staff. It's too easy to knock out of your hands. Stick to the dagger. So he's being helpful. Like, he's not going about it the best way. His communication skills are lacking. Shocker, I know. Yep.
He also, she replies to him, that doesn't mean you can't hurt me.
Yeah. She has trust issues. He has communication issues.
She's not wrong, though, either. No. Like, technically, he could still hurt her as long as he doesn't kill her.
But he has given her no indication that he even wants to hurt her.
I know. She's just still got Dane in her head.
Like, he had her on the mat, and he could have hurt her. Like, multiple times he could have.
Oh, yeah. And that was before they were bonded.
Yes. And so Violet's like, yeah, well, I was doing fine until Tarn barged into my head. And Zayden, like, just block him out. Like it's that easy.
Also, bullshit. It was not Tarn. No. Just saying.
And she's like, what, with all this power I'm wielding? Or were you unaware that I'm still not channeling? And I like this. Zayden says... Well, he leans in, so they're almost nose-to-nose, which I don't understand because she is so fucking short. Like, so much shorter than him. How much is he crouching down right now?
A lot.
He's like a hunchback at the moment. She is 5'2", and he is 6'5".
Yeah. Maybe he's just getting his squats in.
Maybe he's on his knees.
No, that's later.
So true. But he says, I'm annoyingly aware of everything you do. And she thinks, thanks to Liam. And that's not the case yet. I think he's just hyper aware of her at all times.
I think it's because he knows what's in her head because of the bond. Like how they can talk to each other mentally. Yes. I think that is still, it's already there. He just doesn't talk to her through, bleh. He just doesn't talk to her through it yet because it would freak her out. Well,
because she doesn't know how to block. We've already learned that. Although she does learn. In the next part of the chapter.
She does, but I think at this point that's what he's referring to is because he knows he's literally in her head.
So then Dane chimes in. Ugh. He's like, she's just not used to the bond yet. She'll learn how to block it out. And Violet says, or she thinks to herself, that his words sting. But then she realizes that her and Zayden have been having this argument in front of like everybody in the gym. She's like, what is it about Zayden that makes me tune out the rest of the world? And then, like, I love this. Love this for Zayden here. You choose the oddest times to defend her, Atos, and the most convenient times not to. So true. He read him. Like, this is so true. Like, you couldn't have stuck up for her during the Amber thing. But yep. you only care when Zayden's involved. And I just hate it. Because
it's not
I like wrong. This. He's talking about Amber. I know it. Dane knows it. Everyone in this whole awkward room knows it. Our entire squad was there when Dane demanded I call Zayden a liar. Ugh.
Also, like, awkward room.
Yeah. So awkward. So Zayden's like, yeah, put your fucking armor back on. So he turns around and Violet notices his back and she gasps out loud. And Zayden tenses for a second before taking his shirt back from Garrick. And...
Yeah, because he knows that she saw it.
Yeah.
And recognized it.
So she sees Ray's silver lines that she recognizes as scars that cover his entire back. And we now know that these are marks for every single one of the rebellion children that he has taken mm-hmm. responsibility for.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways... Tarn is super fucking proud right now. And he says, you held your own and controlled your temper. And Darna says, she's ready. And Tarn agrees. So, we're about to get some channeling soon.
Yes, although I don't know why Violet didn't question that and why she's shocked. Like, clearly. Like, what did you think they were talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. She was too in her Zayden head.
Violet is back in her room and she's brushing her hair out and kicking herself for how things went in the sparring mat in the gym. Well, she really shouldn't be. Like, she didn't really do anything wrong. So, and then she feels the energy pour into her body. So she starts to channel and it hits her like a truck. Mm-hmm. Like, she falls to the ground. She's like everything. She's like overwhelmed by it. And she just can't control it. And she's, her head is screaming. And her ears won't pop because that's what it feels like. And all she can just do is just lay there and wait for it to end. Which sucks and sounds horrible.
Yeah, it honestly kind of reminds me of when you have, like, the stomach flu. And, like, all you... Like, when you have it so bad that all you can do is, like, lay on your bathroom floor. And you're like, I just need to stay here mm-hmm. until... like, until this moment passes, because I physically cannot get up.
Yeah. Or, like, if I, when I get a migraine,
yes.
I just need to wait until I at least can just vomit and then I feel better. But it's like that, but she can't vomit to make it feel better. Okay. So she uses her brush as basically like a grounding mechanism and just stares at it and just keeps breathing. And then it finally goes away. So she sits up and she's looking at herself and she's just kind of like, I imagine just like opening and closing her hands just slowly and just been like turning them over and be like, something's different
now.
It's
like when you know? A superhero gets their superpowers for the first time and they're like, whoa.
Yep, exactly.
We've all seen this scene in a movie like 100 times.
Yeah. So she tries to reach out to her dragons, but neither answer. Because Tarn is busy getting busy. And I just figure Andarn is probably sleeping.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of her default.
or eating the sheep.
Yeah. Just eating her sleep. I mean, she's a baby. That's what they do. They eat in the sleep.
And they poop.
And poop. Yeah. I swear... I didn't get it, but I want to get that onesie where it's, like, from The Office. Like, just pooping. You know how I be. I want that onesie. So, Violet, then, her brain goes to Rhiannon, because she wants to tell Rhiannon. Because Rhiannon has apparently been channeling and going to Professor Carr's class. And Violet notes that Liam has been lying that he can't channel.
So we were right.
We mentioned last time.
Yeah, we were right.
And we were right. You were right. So now she can go and she's excited, but she's also... She feels a strange tingling sensation. Heat washes over her and her skin prickles and something is low in her stomach. She's like, odd, but whatever. It's probably just a side effect. She goes to open her door to leave to go to find Rhiannon. And then, boom. Her vision blurs and Need slams into her. As she says. Then she sees someone in the hallway and she realizes it's Liam. And she's like, are you sleeping in the hallway?
I wouldn't put it past him.
I know, right? That's why I'm like, it's a fair question. So she's looking at Liam and she's like really looking at him and she kind of wants to jump him. As she says to rub him like a cat in heat, which is really funny to me. But then she realizes that he's not who she wants. She wants Zayden. And then Liam says to her, you don't look like you feel, you know, like yourself. Which causes Violet to realize, oh, this is Tarn's lust. Which originally, I write my notes as I go through. So originally when I got to this part, I was like, has he not been, like, fucking Scale this entire time? But later, Zayden mentions that they can turn it off if they want to. They just sometimes forget, which is what is happening right now. I mean, and the consent thing comes in at the end, kind of. Oh, we'll get there. So Violet decides to go back in her room to get away from Liam because she doesn't want to jump Liam. But she's literally about to. She decides that she just needs to get out of there and get away from everybody. So she grabs her coat and she leaves. She gets outside. She goes to the Citadel to cool off, literally and figuratively. And while she's doing that, it starts snowing, which is just magical. And then she smells Churim and sees Zayden smoking it. So the way Churim is described, it's pretty much, it's cannabis, the way they use it. So I looked up Churim. It's a couple of different things. It's a Malaysian word for mountain pass, apparently. But it is also another name for a real plant in the Tamil or Tamil. I did not look up how to pronounce that language, so I apologize to all speakers of it. T-A-M-I-L.
I think I've seen that word written, but never pronounced, like never said out loud.
Yeah, so I apologize. I probably messed it up. But anyway, it is the Italian cypress plant. So it's a real plant. It is associated with funerals and cemeteries. In pretty much all cultures, it says that it's in, where did it go? In like European and the Muslim world, as this says on Wikipedia. It's traditionally associated with death and the underworld because it fails to regenerate when it's cut back too much. Like a lot of plants, you know, they'll grow back if you cut it down. Cypress doesn't, apparently. And so in Athens, in ancient Athens, households in mourning, they had cypress garlands around their house. It's also used to fumigate the air during cremations. It's also apparently a very common tree to see in cemeteries, like even in modern days. And apparently in modern Israeli cemeteries, it's very popular there because its shape kind of resembles a candle, and its evergreen nature apparently symbolizes the immortality of the soul. Yeah, so I mean, I'm not quite sure how to use that for this, but there you go. It also is not really used for like smoking for people, but also for like smoking food. It's not really used for that either. So it's more like a decorative plant than anything else. So there you go. Violet says they're not allowed to smoke it, which shocking.
It's such a stickler for the rules.
I know. And Zane's like, yeah, but it makes it easier to handle when Tarn and Scale want to get it on. Which is fair. And Violet's just admiring him. And she just keeps thinking about how hot he is. Because she says, gods, I could stare at his lips forever.
You know
they
what?
Are perfectly shaped and yet entirely too decadent for the slashing line of his jaw.
You know when I would have wanted Zayden POV? Right here.
Yep. This would have been a good chapter for it. 100%. I'm sure someday we'll get like an entire book from Zayden's perspective. Fingers crossed.
But not like Midnight Sun.
I mean, I haven't read Midnight Sun.
But it's just like a retelling of Twilight. Like, I don't want a retelling. If like we're gonna get a Zayden book, I want a new book.
Oh, you don't want like his perspective of this whole book?
No.
I mean, it'll be different. The events will be the same, but like it'll be a way different perspective.
Yeah.
And different facts.
I don't know. I mean, like, if she wrote it...
There'll be some differences, like his missions.
If she wrote it, I would read it, but it's not at the top of my list.
Fair enough. So, they talk again about how they're both just kind of hiding so they don't do something they'll regret. Regret?
Yeah, I was just going to say...
Regret.
The squab quad... Squab quad went.
Yeah, we're going to regret the squab quad went. Oh, man. Words are hard, people. Anywho, Violet then mentions that she's going to be horrified to see Liam again. And Zane's like, why? Where is he?
I love this part.
She's like, I'm my own Gotti Bard, and he's in bed. He's like, your bed? He gets super jealous. He's like, no, I'm not jealous. He says that she's not in any condition to consent.
No choice but to stand.
Which is...
here. No choice. Talking about consent, my man.
Yeah. Which they talk about consent, which, lol, given a lot of things with Zayden.
Yeah.
And then Violet just can't help herself from poking at him. Like, he talks about how he's been trying to, like, help her for, like, months, and she just keeps putting him down. She says he has the nerve to look offended, but I think he's actually offended. I don't think it's a look.
Yeah.
Because he's got it bad at this point, as we know.
100%.
Oh. So I feel bad for him here, honestly. Because he, at this point, I think he full-on loves her at this point, even. And then she just keeps just putting everything he's done for her onto other people.
Yeah, he's infatuated.
It's just really shitty the way she's treating him. And he's just like, you know what? We're not fighting. Which, good for him for shutting it down, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, in a very non-confrontational way, too.
But did you notice when Zayden said, your bed, like, just going back a little bit here, his voice is like a crack of lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Already starting with the lightning.
There's a lot
imagery.
Of lightning in this chapter.
Yes, and it's important because this is when she first starts channeling that power. And this is when we're starting to get all of this lightning imagery.
Yeah. Which, I love lightning anyway, so. Oh, and then one of my favorite lines here, though, she's like, have you always been this tall? And he's like, no, I was a child at some point.
Yeah, so funny.
She just rolls her eyes like, I'm sorry. I don't care how much you don't like him. That's got to make you laugh.
So funny.
It's so funny. And then he makes her ask him nicely, because she has been kind of a bitch to him this whole time for no reason. So she, even when she does ask him, quote unquote, nicely, she's still shitty about it.
Yeah.
She says, would you pretty, pretty please teach me how to shield before I accidentally climb you like a tree and we both wake up with regrets? And then he says, oh, I'm firmly in control of my faculties. Lies.
Yeah. Well, and we
you
know
are not
lies
in control.
Because just a few lines later, he's like, oh, this is just one of the perks of not thinking too clearly.
You have incredibly touchable skin.
She
let
has,
her slip there, Zayden.
She has nice skin.
So he's flirting with her while he's teaching her how to shield. Which, this segment coming up here, if you look for the graphic audiobook on Audible, you can listen to a sample from each half of the graphic audio of this book. And for the second half, this section here is actually the sample where he's teaching her how to close the door to the archives and such. So if you want to hear it in a different way, go take a look at that sample for free. So he says that you need to envision somewhere that you like. For him, it's a hillside near what's left of Arisha. Okay.
Yeah. Lies.
And then he's deception.
But it's just I find this interesting too, because he is clearly not in control of his faculties at this point in time. Like, not only is he love drunk from Scale and Tara, mm-hmm. but he is also high, and he mm-hmm. is still protecting the secret. Like, he still knows enough to not let on any more of this, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to him, that's worth more than his own life. And Violet, her poem that she can think of is The Archives. So I'm not quite sure what to read into that.
Well, certainly not going to be her home.
No. So she grounds herself and she imagines a door. And I mean, I'm just going to kind of skim over this whole thing. He just teaches her to envision a door, basically, and to close the door.
It's like meditation, kind of. Like visualization.
Yes, which I have not done. but yeah, I can see that. So they close the door. So now she's managed to kind of shut off her, shield herself from Tarn. And Zayden notes that it's amazing how quickly she could do that because he couldn't do it for weeks. Which is a really big compliment, actually, because he's considered, you know, the strongest writer in quite some time.
You are astonishing. I love that.
Aww.
Guys, I am so jealous that Sam is getting the first Zayden and Violet kiss. I'm so jealous.
It's pretty awesome. I love their lead up to it, also. Anyway. Because it's really funny to me. But yeah, it's really great that, you know, she's already that good at it. But I think it has been said before, she's so used to compartmentalizing yeah. herself that it's really no different. It's just a different method of compartmentalization.
We've known that she has mental strength since the beginning of the book, so it is not shocking to me that she immediately excelled at this aspect.
Yeah, because she already puts her pain in a box.
Yeah.
And then she's... This is where their fun back and forth starts. Because she's like, guess I have a superior teacher. And he's like, damn it, touching you is the worst idea. And they're like, the worst. Kissing would be a cataclysmic mistake. Calamitous. This is really funny to me.
We'll both regret it.
Like, we'll both regret it.
Yeah.
Naturally. And it's like, ah, fuck it.
And then they're just making out.
They're just making out hardcore.
Up against the like, wall they are... making out.
Yep. She is off the ground. She is pulling on his shirt. It is hot.
Yeah.
And then he moans her name. And then she wants him closer.
Well, he moans her nickname.
And then here. Yes. But then here, as though he can hear my thoughts, because he kind of can.
Yeah.
Also, we know in Iron Flame, he used his signet here to know that she wanted to kiss him. Was there a scalp prickle? No.
Yeah, there you go.
Just saying.
Maybe it's because she's high.
She didn't smoke it.
Just off of life.
I'm just saying. I still say it's a red herring and it's wrong.
I just like this. My hands are finally in his hair. It is just as soft as I imagined. Because how many fucking times have we talked about her thinking about his hair? Like.
Yeah. I bet it is soft.
Yeah, he conditions for sure.
I feel like guy hair in general is usually soft. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, and they use their fucking, like, 8-in-1 body wash, shampoo,
head and shoulders, 2-in-1. Actually, like, a 3-in-1. It's body wash, yeah. Shampoo, and conditioner. And then he starts basically dry humping her.
Pretty much.
They put it much more sexy, though.
Yeah. But that's is what what's happening.
Whereas his... That's essentially what's happening. His hips rock into her. And they're a tangle of tongues and teeth. Questing lips and hands as the snow falls around like, us.
Just like light, slightly snowing too. Like
it's just magical. But then, lightning flashes in the background. Foreshadowing. Which I think Zayden mentions later that he kind of thought maybe because of it happening here. Didn't you say something like he suspected?
I think so, yeah.
And then the thunder happened. And she's like, oh, it's just thunder snow. Okay. It's not, but sure.
Do you think when she says thunder snow isn't uncommon around here, do you think that has to do with her mother being there a lot, controlling the weather?
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. I think I've only actually encountered a thunderstorm like once in my life.
I was gonna say it's a it's not uncommon. That's a fucking weird weather phenomenon. Like,
yeah, that's at least in my experience. It's super uncommon. Very rare. Well, you guys have a lot more snow. Do you get thundersnow a lot? Interesting.
So I'm wondering if she's like, oh, it's not uncommon, but it's like, you grew up with a fucking, like, storm wielder as a mother.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not uncommon wherever you go.
Yeah, maybe Lilith likes thundersnow. I mean, I can't blame her. It'd be cool as hell. Maybe Lilith
and Papa Sorengale have the same reaction when they got it on.
Oh, shit. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. We know that emotion plays a part. Unfortunately, though, for Violet, the thunder and lightning kind of snaps Zayden out of it a bit. And then he panics and basically sends her away.
Yeah. But
he's like, no, I can't.
Well, it's noble what he's doing.
Yeah. And no. Because he talks about, oh, it's all about consent, and then you're not consenting. This isn't what you actually want. But, like, he also at the same time used his signet earlier to kind of maneuver things.
Yeah. But I think on his part, this was the right thing to do. Like, she can't currently separate her feelings from Tarn's. Mm-hmm. So I think this move was correct.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just think his...
Oh, yeah. It's totally...
it's a little hypocritical. That's exactly exactly
the word that I was going to use.
Okay, good.
Maybe not hypocritical, actually.
Yeah, so I was like, contradictory?
Yes, there you go.
Maybe. Anyway, so Violet realizes he's right, and she kind of runs away.
Just flees the scene.
Excuse me. Yep. Please run away. And she's kicking her. Then she ends the chapter the same way she started my section, with kicking herself for stupid reasons. And she's like, I almost made such a stupid mistake. But she'll make that mistake in full soon, I believe. I think
it's chapter 30.
So not too far, 7 chapters away. And scene.
It's gonna be a super sexy June once we get to that.
Bow chicka bow bow. So, what are you up to?
Oh, sorry. I was just checking the chapter discussions to make sure we didn't have anything for this chapter.
I didn't think we did.
We don't.
So. But
okay. So I have been watching. Oh my God, what was I watching? Oh my God, what was I watching? Criminal Minds. I'm watching Criminal Minds. Which I've seen before, so. And I read a book that I loved in high school that was like, it's like a corny high school romance book called Perfect Chemistry. I read it again for the first time in probably like 15 years. Still love it. Still corny as fuck, but still love it. It's basically good girl and boy from the wrong side of the tracks. Will they fall in love?
Okay,
will the captain of the cheerleading squad and the captain of the football team remain together forever? Or will she admit and stay true to her heart and fall in love with the gang member with a heart of gold?
So is it like enemies to lovers, or more like opposites attract?
Enemies to lovers.
Okay. I like be some enemies to lovers.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. How about you?
Well, I finally finished my CE and everything, so yay! I have time for things now.
Woohoo!
That shit took forever. And I think I mentioned last time we had 2 new cats at the cafe, Roots and Footsie. They're already getting adopted on Friday.
Wow.
To the same house. So that was fast. They lasted not even a week.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so we'll be getting two more on Friday when they go. So, oh, and we're having our ribbon cutting on Thursday. So, it's going to be a busy week. Other than that, I was just so busy with getting my CE done down to the wire. So, I will have more time for things now. Yay!
So, thank you everyone so, so much for listening. We really appreciate you getting us to these 5,000 listens and letting us do this giveaway that I'm going to plug one more time. So if you haven't had a chance to go enter, please do that now. The prize is really great and is open to everyone in North America. So go enter. You never know. You could win. And so our Instagram is at Reader's Quadrant Podcast. So please go follow us there, like our posts. Also join our Discord. We have great discussions on there about everything and anything under the sun. It's not just Fourth Wing and Empyrean, though we do discuss those a lot. We discuss like our pets, what kind of food we're making, like ask for recipes, just general everyday stuff. Like today we're talking about how it's going to be May and of course NSYNC, you know.
It's gonna be May.
And then if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please email us at readersquadpod@gmail.com and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you listen to our podcast.
Yes. Thank you all again so much for listening. And remember, the right way isn't the only way.
Bye.
Bye.
We would like to thank Kevin MacLeod for the use of his song, The Pyre, for our intro and outro music. Thank you.